Good morning. I don't know what your experience has been like the last couple of days, but my last couple of days have been absolute chaos in a lot of ways. Okay? I've been lost a couple of times. I've not been at the right place at the right time. I forgot things, like stuff I was supposed to take when I was going somewhere. And it wasn't like I got lost once. It's like I got lost multiple times. I mean, just one of those things where you go someplace, you don't know the lay of the land. You're not sure exactly where you're going, but you kind of think you know what you're going. You know, I yesterday, getting directions. I was in McDonough, Georgia. Luke's playing baseball today. That's why I was there. But I was trying to get to a baseball park, and I called the guy that I'm coaching with, and he said, "Oh, it's on Highway 20. And he said, "You just go the road out of the hotel and you turn and you just keep going straight and da da da." I did what he told me to. I stayed on Highway 20 and I went all the way from Henry County to Newton County on Highway 20. The only problem is I got Luke with me, so I'm nervous. I'm probably more nervous than he is because we're supposed to be at the game at a certain time. Sometimes things don't go the way you think they're going to go. So, why should this morning be any different? You know, we've already had power outage, no AC, and all those things just happen sometimes. The question is, in the middle of that and then in spite of that, are we determined to be where God wants us to be and doing what God wants us to do? Now, does it matter to us that all the power works, or would we be here anyway? Does it matter to us that the air conditioner's on, or would we put up with, for at least a small period of time, a little bit of no air conditioning in order to be where we're supposed to be? We know that God's told us to be there. Does it matter? Just something to think about, if you want a little bit. Today I wanted to talk with you, and I sort of let in a little bit on this. Just a second ago, boys with me, she'll tease me and say, you know, I'm really worried about your memory. Sometimes she's not teasing, quite frankly. There's days where I don't remember as well as I would like to. It used to be, you know, and I've always been relatively good with words, but there are days where I cannot remember the word that I want to use. It's like right there. I can't remember it. Or it'd be like, yesterday, is Luke and I, we went to Walmart, which is just around the corner from where our hotel was. But it was one of those where you got to go here and you got to go all the way around, and then Walmart's back over here, and then you come out. Well, I couldn't remember how to get out. I said, "Luke, is this where I turn?" He goes, "Dad, I'm trying to remember." And then finally, we got back, and he's like, "Okay, yeah, I know where I'm going." I don't remember things the way I really want to. I forget things far too frequently. And that bothers me at times. Some days I'm right on and I'm good. And then I think I'm going in too early all the time. I just don't. It's like I used to feel like I used to be so sharp. Maybe you've had some of those experiences. Whenever we look at the Bible, and we think about what it really is, the Bible is, the Bible tells us to meditate on it, read it, and then hide it in our hearts. That's what Psalm says. It's because the Bible and the stories of God's revealing Himself to and through regular Joes and regular Josephines is right here. And the reason why it's recorded and printed, we have gajillions of Bibles that exist today in several different versions or translations in numerous languages, is because the Word of God is supposed to be unforgettable. But God knows how hard-headed we are, and He knows how prone to memory lapses we are. So here it is. So that even some intelligent people even later came by and put in chapters and verses for us. Of course, they're not divinely inspired. But they know how we need help to reference things. How we need anchors to help us remember things that are important. So as I was thinking about how this word is supposed to be unforgettable, I started thinking about the stories and the lessons that are recorded here that are revealed for a purpose. And how important those things are, and how important, not just how important they are, but how the Bible treats the people and the stories as important itself. And that there's things here recorded that are supposed to be unforgettable because we know the Bible keeps referring to them itself. So what I want to do is I want to look at some of those things for a couple of weeks, as long as this all keeps percolating and going along. And the way I want to start is where I feel like, to a large part, the story of faith begins. So we're going to start with faith. So today, I want to talk with you for a little while about unforgettable faith. So that's where we'll begin today. We're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about the example that the Bible keeps going back to over and over and over again. Several places in the Bible. Anytime the model of faith is mentioned, you hear the name Abraham. The first example, the primary model that you hear anyone in Scripture talking about, when they talk about faith, they go back to Abraham. So let's look at this example of faith, and let's kind of figure out why it's supposed to be unforgettable for you and me. Now, the first thing that I want to do is I want to look at the passage that establishes the faith of Abraham, where it was first recorded and described. And then we'll ask a question, and then I want to look at a few other passages that come much later in Scripture that demonstrate this is supposed to be something that we don't forget, a story that sticks with us for a reason. So let's look at Genesis chapter 12. Here it says, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I'll show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Second part of the passage. So, Abraham left. Glad he did that. As the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So my question is, what did Abraham do that demonstrated a faith that should be unforgettable for you and me? If we're going to see in Scripture over and over and over again that Abraham's the guy, what did he do? He obeyed God. Why would that have been such an important thing? Or why was that such a challenging thing, maybe? He was hearing God. It was a new thing. Not many other people were either ready to or were responding to God. And he did what God told him to do. And it was kind of a novel. Okay? novel thing. What else about this would make it unforgettable? He didn't know where he was going. You know where you're going to be this afternoon? I have a pretty good idea where I'm going to be. But, no, I'm not sure. That's the thing, I'm not sure. So to wake up and not know necessarily where you're going to be, the next thing. As far as Abraham was concerned, when he woke up, he was still Abram, by the way, at this point. And all he knew is he said, "Yes, God, I'll go." He didn't know where he was going when he left, but when he got there, God said, "This is the spot. This is what I'm going to give to you." Anything else? He wasn't young. That's true. Are we there yet? Can't you just hear that? It is amazing if you think about all the people that were a part of this migration from Haran to Canaan. Well, I'm sure he did. I don't doubt that one bit. But when he left, when all he had was the challenge to get up and go, he didn't know where he was going. No, that's right. He didn't have that unforgettable obedience and risk and, you know, stepping out and going. And, you know, the truth is that there's probably some of the story that we don't focus on. There's the journey. There's always the journey, right? Because you know and I know that Abram didn't just walk out of his tent one morning and then walked over the sand dune and there he was the next day in Canaan. I mean, this was a journey. Look at all the people with him. All the stuff it took me just to go to McDonough and back for just me and Luke and then, you know, all the stuff that I had to get ready and take care of in order to go there and come back and then get ready to go back and turn around and go again. Think about hundreds possibly of people. All the things that had to happen. And I didn't have to carry food with me. So we have some things to reflect on that demonstrate why this faith of Abraham is supposed to be so unforgettable for us. Which is hard for us in this culture because we like things pretty well planned out. We like to know where we're going. We don't necessarily like to go one step at a time not knowing what the next step is. We don't like risk a whole lot in general. That's why 70-something percent of the American culture is an S personality that's steady, that doesn't like change. This is the model of faith for us. And it ought to be unforgettable. All right, let's look at some of the passages then in the New Testament that remind us this is the model. It's don't forget this guy. Don't forget his kind of faith because, and we'll fill in the because in just a second. First of all, we'll look at Romans 14, 13 through 25. The promise that he would be the heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless. Because law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, here's where the story comes in. He's already referred to Abram. The promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, "it was credited to him," were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. As you look at that passage, Paul is more than once referring back to this whole idea of Abraham's faith being a model for ours. So what does Paul say made Abraham's faith a model? Why should it be unforgettable? Because he told the next chapter in the story. What was the next chapter in the story? It's not just that Abraham got up and left. What's the second chapter in the faith story with Abraham? Father of many nations. Kind of hard if you don't got any kids. Like we said, Abraham was no spring chicken. And neither was Sarai. So, what do we see here? What does he say? What makes Abraham now our model? He believed God could do the impossible. What was the impossible thing that for Abraham? Have a child no matter how old you might be. Yeah, however old Sarai was. No matter how barren she had been for decades. This may not really mean as much to you, but I'll reflect back on my family story. When Regina and I got married, we found out that the only way that we could possibly have children was if Regina had a surgery in order for that to even be possible. So she had to have the surgery that we really didn't have money for. But she had the surgery. We found a way to pay for it. Because we weren't paying on insurance, they actually cut the amount of money that we were going to have to pay. And we paid on installment, and it was just fine. And then we had Abby. And while Regina was pregnant with Abby, she had to take all kind of shots. And in fact, I had to give her shots in order for her to continue the pregnancy, because she didn't have the right hormone balance to continue the pregnancy. So I was giving her like one or two shots a day. I can't remember. Anyway, we had to do that for 3 or 4 months. And then, once Abby was born, she was about 4 months old, and Regina, we think, develops a blood clot in her lower leg, which at that point, she had to go on blood thinners. And it looked like the doctor said, "You're done." And then after about 2.5 years, the internist said, "Oh, there's no reason why you couldn't try if you really wanted to, because now's the time." Because, guys, I was 35 whenever Abby was born. So that put me at 39 when Luke finally got born. Anyway, in order to have Luke, we had to do more stuff. Lots of HCG shots and lots of Regina injecting, heparin. She had to give herself heparin shots 3 times a day. She was black and blue all over in order to be able to have Luke. Okay? It took stuff to get our kids here. Okay? All that I think of, and then I think about Sarah. She didn't have no medicine. Forgive my use of incorrect grammar. The reality was, all of this was just amazing, remarkable, fantastic, bigger than reality. And God said, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. And at that point, Ishmael had not even become a reality. So anything else? Anything else you see in the model? All right. Another reference. This one probably is Apollos and not Paul, but it's from Hebrews. Did I skip or did you skip? Hebrews 11. There you go. That's it. Okay. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him. Chapter 3 in the faith story. Offered Isaac as a sacrifice, who he had received the promises, was about to sacrifice his only one and only son, even though God said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. You see how this example keeps growing? Started with moving. Abraham, you got to go where you don't know. And he went. Hey, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. There are no children. Abraham, you got to sacrifice your son. He's the only one. See how fantastic this model is? So how does Abraham's example here connect to the kind of faith that we're supposed to have in Jesus? That Romans passage brought it up a little bit. Here, what sounds similar to what we know about Jesus? To the story that we know of Abraham and Isaac on the mountain? What was Abraham supposed to do? Sacrifice his son is what he was asked to do. And he was willing to do it. It was hard. And so Hebrews says that Abraham had the kind of faith that if God said, this boy is who's going to become the one that's going to make you a father of many nations, that he could literally raise him from the dead if that was the case. Had to be. So who does that sound like? Okay? Abram couldn't do it, but God could. If Abram had sacrificed Isaac, and that's what God wanted him to do, he still would have had the ability to raise Isaac to life, and there still would have been many nations. But nobody else's eternity would have been changed. It's a picture. Because through Jesus, our eternity was changed. Next passage. This is from Galatians 3. Here, once again, Paul says, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abram. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, man of faith. So why should we remember and emulate the model of Abraham's faith? Even though we're not Jews? Let me ask this question. Was Abraham a Jew? He was a Semite. Right? There were no Jews. There were no Hebrews at this point. Okay? So we have to remember that Abraham is a model for you and me because he wasn't a Jew. There were no laws. There was no Ten Commandments. There was no covenant that existed. So it was all by faith. I'm trying to string this along for you a little bit. Is this making sense? Here we have this model, and here we have Paul saying, the model is for you who are not from the covenant. Abraham's model transcends any culture. Because it's just a guy hearing from God, obeying God, and trusting God over and over and over and over again in more than one facet of his life. Where he lived, what he did. That he was going to be a father of many nations. That he had to give up his son. Unforgettable. Unusual. So let's go to a couple questions. We've kind of dealt with some of these, but kind of rehash. So what made Abraham's faith so unforgettable? We need to have that firmly in our mind. So again, let's reprise. What makes his faith so unforgettable? Obedience. Consistency of obedience. Obedience in impossible. Taking chances. Risking. Belief in what God said would happen in spite of the logic. Now listen. This model is not some Harry Houdini, guess what God told me kind of thing. To where I can just all of a sudden say, poof, God told me to do this. And so faith means I'm going to do what God told me to do after I ate that pepperoni pizza last night. Okay. This is when God speaks to you and speaks to me clearly. We know it's God. Abraham didn't question. It wasn't pizza last night. It was God. God showed up. In fact, you know, there's the story of Abram seeing the travelers that came and sat down with him, and that those were representative of angels that God was using to speak to him about what he needed to do, because he was flat imperfect. Y'all know, in between this, he was a pretty dumb guy. Tried to pass his wife off as his sister. Married her off for protection. Smart. But he was a guy of faith. He's a lot like you and me. He did a lot of things right, but he wasn't perfect. So what made Abraham's faith so unforgettable, to me too, is the fact that he's just like you and me. What makes Abraham's faith something we ought to live? Can we live the way that he did? Or even better, I guess. Yeah, we could do better. You look at those kids and you say, would my children trust me the way that Isaac trusted Abram? Where are you going? Don't know? Head in that direction. I know we're supposed to take that step. And then the next step. That's right. Right. Being the first. Now the question is, does that mean he was the first one to have the opportunity? You know, I kind of think of Abraham a lot like I think of Noah sometimes. You know, in the midst of a evil and perverse generation, You know, because Abraham had to deal with that too. Remember, Lot was in the middle of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot pretty much had to go snatch him out. Like, shake him a little bit and say, nephew, what you doing over there? Being first. No model. But we have a model, right? We have a model. What does it mean to live by faith? Because ultimately, for you and me, this is what it comes down to. We've got to have an answer to this question. Yes, Carolyn. Listen and obey. God's promises can be fulfilled through us. Which brings up a little tangential thing that I would like to deal with. This week is July 4. In fact, I'll go ahead and tell you. Dana said he's going to be here on July 4 for prayer time, 11 to 1, just to let you know. He will be here on, that is July 4th. Yes, we understand. No. Here's the tangent. Whenever I was a kid at school, back before the old days, back before they told us we couldn't do things like this, every morning I remember singing in second grade, God Bless America, to the tape that they would play. It may have been a record on a turntable that they played over the loudspeaker every morning. And I think that was probably, it was either Ethel Merman or somebody like that that sang that. Or Kate Smith. It could have been Kate Smith. Kate Smith probably. And I'm singing it, you know. But it's that expression, God bless America. And many, many times we do this, God bless America, God bless, and God bless the USA with Lee Greenwood on, you know, these songs inspire us, they fill us up. And yes, we need to be asking God bless us, but the reality is we need to be a blessing to God. And if we'll be a blessing to God, then we will be a blessing to other people. And we've got it so cart backwards. We got the cart in front of the horse. We need to be blessing God. What does it mean to live by faith? Thank you for letting me take the tangent. Faith means you do what God tells you to do when it doesn't make sense, right? It's not what Sam tells you to do. It's what God tells you to do. Okay? So if I stood up here and told you, you need to do this, and God will bless you, you ought to make sure you check it out. Because if it's not in that word over there, you don't do it. Now, there's some things that we know for a fact. We can open up the Bible, we can read it clearly, and we know there's some things that Bible says that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love one another, right? We're supposed to forgive one another. Right? Okay. There's things we're supposed to do. It tells us to do those. Part of faith. Doing the stuff that the book says, not to be legalistic, but because that's a part of faith. So many times when we come to talk about faith, we get caught in our throat this whole idea of, well, what if and how do we know? Well, folks, if we just do the stuff we do know, we wouldn't worry about too much the stuff that we didn't know. Does that make sense to you? Because the issue is, are we acting in faith on the stuff that's clear, that's simple? Which is why I go back to, you know, around here, my saying is, a thimbleful of theology. I don't have to get real deep with you guys about theology, because the reality is, if we just did the little bit of theology that we knew clear, and we would grow up. We can know all this stuff between our ears, and we can have great conversations about it, but until we put a thimbleful of theology into our lives, and we practice it, and we live it, and we live that faith, we don't have very much. A cup of cold water in Jesus' name goes a long way. Okay. Anybody have another answer to what does it mean to live by faith? Let God guide you. Yeah. Got one more. So what keeps us from living by faith? Now, if we stop there, we would be negating why Jesus Christ died on the cross. And we're not going to do that. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we could live by faith. So that we have an open door, an entrance in to the ability to do what pleases God. To be in a relationship with Him. To have a love that is bigger than ourselves. And the reality is, we can't make excuses. Nobody keeps us from living by faith but you and me. Look in the mirror. But Jesus died for us. Sometimes, folks, I have to remind myself of that. I have to say, no, that's what Jesus died for. That's what Jesus died for. Even as dumb as this was, that's what Jesus died for. For me. My part. Because I forget a lot of things. Oh, I know, but I can only talk about me. All right. Unforgettable faith. We'll see where we go next. It's the model for us all. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how you've lined all this up so remarkable. How everything seems to fit and work together. How who you are puts all of this of the relationship that the Father started with Abraham into context. And Lord, I'm amazed because there have been a lot of people on the face of the planet. And you picked out this one guy at this one time. And now today, in the day that I'm living, you picked us out. You picked me out. And you did so, and you pointed back at Abraham and you said, that's the kind of faith I want you to have. Lord, I do want to surpass Abraham's faith. I know I don't, but I would love to. And Lord, there's costs to that. And I pray, Lord, that you would teach us how to walk with you, how to take risks with you, how to trust you when you say what we ought to do. And that, Lord, we'll find at the end that you've done amazing things in our lives and you've given us a heritage and a legacy that'll live on into eternity. Because your name's attached to it. Because you are God and your name was lifted up. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. All right, we're done.